gonna be an adventure, but... Hola y bienvenido a otro episodio de No Highway Option, el podcast de cine donde respondemos la única pregunta que se aplica a todas las películas. ¿Es mejor o peor que la obra maestra seminal de Vin Diesel de 2005, The Pacifier? Soy Connor J. Burke, one of your hosts, and I took French for 3 years in high school, so that was probably terrible. But my favorite fact about monkeys is that the world's smallest monkey is the pygmy marmoset.
Ah.
He's just a cute little guy.
Soy Luke, I'm your other host, and male mandrills have much brighter faces than the females do.
Interesting. And we have two very special guests today. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Brad, and we are from the Well, I Liked It podcast. We're your co-host there. And my monkey fact is, you guys, apes are not monkeys.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Nice. I'm Katie. I'm Katie Roletto. I am the other co-host of the Well, I Liked It podcast. And my monkey fact is most monkeys have tails. Not all, but most.
Nice. Yeah. Probably very useful. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. And today's movie comes to us from last week's guest, Matt Pace. Thank you, Matt. It is the 2019 Nickelodeon movie, Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
And over on the Instagram coming attractions game, Alex Levitt, Mike King, Bradley Robinson, the Disney College Podcast, same guy, he shouldn't guess twice and I shouldn't give him two shoutouts, but too late, I already did, and I Drink Your Podcast all guessed this one correctly. Once a month, the first Sunday of every month, we do a picture-based coming attractions game on our Instagram story, where you get a vague picture clue, and if you guess the movie right, then you get a shoutout on the show just like this one. So thanks for playing, and, you know, follow us on Instagram at NoHighwayPod for more of that. And now it's time to vamanos back to the episode. I don't speak much more Spanish in this, I promise.
Does anyone have any history with this movie that's, like, a year and a half old?
That's personal, or...
just anything.
I got some real beef with this movie, let me tell you.
The only thing I know about it is when the trailer first came out, I was at a restaurant with my friends and I was like, all right, we have to stop what we're talking about right now and see what the hell is this?
Actually remember I was in Guatemala about the time that this came out, and I saw posters all the way around and I was like, oh, that's cool. That's a thing they're doing here. And then I realized, oh, no, that's a thing they're doing everywhere.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I remember from this is they did that. Someone did a YouTube trailer version first, right?
Yes.
Way before.
Yeah.
And then it was that was like the adult Dora. And when I saw this trailer, I was like, oh, it's pretty close.
It's remarkably similar. I think it was like College Humor in 2014 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds right.
But weird coincidence. According to the IMDb trivia, they're like, that's the reason this movie was made, which like... not sure about that, but
well, I guess if there's a demand, then they know some people will watch
True.
It, then maybe that's like
might
some,
help.
Yeah, put it in the the research, in the market research of why they
public
should make it
consciousness. All right, do we want to start going through the film itself?
Yeah, let's
oh,
do
yeah.
it.
All right, so opens, it's a Paramount Players movie. That's a new imprint they made recently to release movies based on their TV stations, like BET, MTV Films, and Nickelodeon. I found that interesting, and I know no one else will.
I did.
Okay, cool. It starts out with a disclaimer from Swiper, voiced by Benicio Del Toro, which...
Oh,
wonderful.
Yeah, he knows what kind of movie it is. So, like, I give him a lot of credit for that. His performance is a strange little time.
That PSA looked, it made me think of Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh.
Yeah, like the clicky typewriter and everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the little picture at the bottom. He looked mm-hmm. different there than he did as a creepy CGI monster later.
Yeah, the CG in this movie, I think it's, like, the CG animals and just any of the CG, I think it's because they tried to make him look cartoony and gave him all the cartoony colors. They stick out and they kind of look bad.
Yeah, because they're the only thing that's like cartoony, right? Like the people aren't really that cartoony. They're all like, they're like us. They're normal.
For yeah, it's It's a largely like realistic-ish live action world, and then it's just like talking fox man,
which was a choice.
I was not high enough for this movie, I just gotta say. Like,
I think it definitely would have helped, even though I don't know why I enjoyed it so much. I think I went in with zero expectation, and I was like, oh, I'm kind of charmed by this. Like, I'm having a good time.
I liked it too, and I was really nervous coming on here today. I thought I'd be like the nerd, but I was like, this is charming.
It was cute.
It was cute, yeah.
Yeah, it was cute. I liked it too.
Okay, good. All right. And the other one?
It gave me a couple of laughs.
There you go. Okay. That's good enough. Start off the movie with, as expected, it's basically a live-action Dora the Explorer. We got Dora and her cousin Diego, and they got a map and a backpack, and they're driving around. It's revealed to be a fantasy, so that's cute. Little nod. But Diego is going to the city tomorrow to, you know, socialize and become a person.
I assumed they were talking about the city and they were in the jungle, that it was going to be two places that were close together. Not we're either in the jungles of Brazil or Hollywood.
Or LA, yeah.
In that plane sequence when they're flying over, I'm like, oh, okay, so they're going to go like Panama City. No. Mexico City? No.
No.
Oh, we're going to Hollywood, baby.
We got in this, there's like all the staples of the show. Dora does a lot of fourth wall breaks, and her parents, played by Eva Longoria and Michael Pena, are very worried about it. But she grows out of it for the most part.
Did she grow out of it?
Yeah.
I mean, after the first couple, like once she gets to the city, because she does have when she does have when she's older. Yeah.
True.
The city rips it out of her.
Yeah, she's not spitting out those Spanish phrases as much anymore. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like in the beginning where she has the whole like, oh, this is a poison dart frog. Can you say severe neurotoxicity?
And if she's never met any people, she's never been anywhere outside of the jungle, who is she recording that YouTube vlog for?
Okay, so I thought that too. And I was like, is she just crazy? Like a very lonely person. And she's crazy, right?
She's crazy.
I think it's just, like, posterity. I know she's, like, my family and I are explorers, so it's her being, like, this is, I guess, instead of writing a journal, it's the next tech evolution of a journal, maybe?
Yeah, that sounded like...
If she put that on TikTok, I would watch it.
I would, too. Oh, my God.
I'd subscribe.
I'd be a little weirded out by the CG monkey that was behind her all the time, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I got some questions about Boots, but I'll hold my questions.
Yeah. I think the big problem with me is he's like photo real design, but then they gave him the cartoon colors, and I'm like, that bumps heads.
It was a little creepy. But I noticed that when he was younger, he had the boots, but then where'd the boots go?
Her parents took them off,
but I feel like, why are you calling him Boots? Like, because he wore boots that one time?
It's just his name.
Like,
that was enough.
Maybe she found him in a boot.
It's like a boot monkey.
It's like an embarrassing nickname in high school. You do one thing wrong and you're called that for the rest of your life.
It follows you forever. Yeah.
He put those boots on and Dora's like, that's boots, man.
It's like, I did it one time, man. One time.
Let it go.
10 years ago.
My name's Albert, please. So Diego's in the city. 10 years later, Dora is now played by Isabella Merced. In the movie, it's Isabella Monet, but she changed her stage name. And her parents, while they're looking for Paraparta, the lost city of gold from the title, they tell her that she also should go to the city because she's 16 and only friend is a monkey.
Fair.
Did this upset anyone? I was very upset.
Why? You felt like they were trying to get rid of her?
No, I felt like they'd raised her entire life in that jungle to find this place. She spent 16 years looking for it, and then they're like, we found it, but you're going to the city. We're not going to let you find it within the next month that it takes us to discover it. This entire thing we've built up, your entire life, we just said, screw it, we're going to the city.
You fell down one time, and now you don't get to go.
You don't get to go. You fell down once. You're not ready. I don't know. I felt bad for her.
It is a little upsetting because they did keep her there, but it's... You gotta have conflict somehow. How else would we have Michael Pena singing house music
to describe a rave? That went on for a very long time. When I first started watching this movie, I was a little mad at you guys because I was like, this is an hour and 45 minutes. But then I started watching it and I was like, it's actually not so bad. But then with that house music bit, I was like, no, you could have cut this shorter. This could have been shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could have been. I do appreciate Michael Pena in any movie he's in, gives it his all. And like here he still is.
I guess. I just feel like they're like, I don't know, let Michael Pena do this bit. He really wants to do this bit. Let's keep it in, you know?
I thought he did a great job with the bit. I got really into it.
We're in a big fight right now, man. Me and you.
Oh, we know how that is. So Dora arrives at LAX to meet her cousin, now older, Diego, who's played by Jeff Wahlberg. And yes, that is Mark Wahlberg's nephew.
Oh. Wild.
They don't look alike.
Not at all. I don't know which Wahlberg brother he's a kid of.
Is Donnie a brother?
It's not Donnie. It's not Mark. That's what Wikipedia told me. But for some reason, they wouldn't tell me which one.
Like, we're not going to give you his name. He asked for privacy.
Yeah, these are the only Wahlbergs we care about. So,
I just want to know if he's the heir to the Wahlbergers or not.
Yeah, I was wondering that the entire time too. It doesn't say on his IMDb. Mm. Okay. Anyway,
is this his version of the Marky Mark song? Like he's gonna look back at this the same way.
I don't think I've seen him do any other projects besides this so far.
He's pretty young still. I read that they're like he's their prodigy, and I thought that is a strong word. That is a strong word, the Wahlberg prodigy.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I could see him in the sequel to the All the Boys I've Loved or whatever that movie is.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I could see him being a bit role there. I could see him there. I don't know if he was. I see a path.
If he's a Wahlberg prodigy, then he's going to make Entourage but in high school next. That's the path.
Oh, yeah. I'd watch it.
Actually, yeah, I'd watch Entourage but in high school.
It might be more interesting, honestly.
Yeah, it'd be funny.
So
I'm just writing that down. Excuse me. I'm going to save that for later.
Yeah, right. We get producer credits. So Dora's trying to acclimate to life in L.A. Even though it was a little bit too real, I appreciated her trying to go to sleep outside and looking up at the sky.
Yeah.
And it was just full of smoke and helicopters. I thought that was a great joke.
That was a good L.A. joke. Yeah. That's a good L.A. joke.
Very unfortunate from, what happened last year, but... Anyway, she goes to school the next day and she's got, flares and survival gear and a whole bunch of stuff that goes off in the metal detector.
Do we think the security guard knows what a flare is?
You would hope.
He sets it off.
Yeah, right? He had no idea.
Yeah,
he's just like, ugh. He doesn't even look. He's like, I have all these weapons I'm pulling out of your bag, but I'm just going to play with them and set it off. And then he kind of just held it, right? He didn't throw it.
Yeah, he was kind of just like, oh, huh, weird. He wasn't awake.
It was early. Yeah,
he's like, I'm a school security guard, a high school security guard. There's not that much happening here, I'm just there for high alerts.
I'm a high school security guard in a Nickelodeon movie.
He's like, these are usually pretty safe.
Yeah, he looks a little older. I think that his heydays are probably behind him, but yeah.
While in school, Dora meets Sammy Moore. I only described her as the HBIC. And absolutely schools her on saving the rainforest. Like, which rainforest? Which is a good question. You never ask those people that did those fundraisers.
I just assume they're all in trouble at all times,
Yeah. they're all getting fern gullied at once. And she is nice to the very dweeby Randy Warren. Yay, we're introduced to our side characters.
Hooray.
They really introduced them real fast.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, there's this kid, and that's who you're going to hang out with for the rest of the movie.
This movie really wants to, not have anything to do with the city. It's just like, we have to have her there for a little bit, but jungle, jungle, jungle. Let's get back there as fast as we can.
Well, they filmed it mostly in Australia, didn't they?
I think so.
Yeah. So they're probably like, we can't let anybody know that we're not where we're supposed to be. But I appreciate it. I don't know. I just moved to LA and I just moved to Silver Lake area. So the high school is named Silver Lake High. And that was, that's a neighborhood and that's a thing. So they tried, you know?
That's your local high school.
Yeah. That's that. If I went to high school, that's where I'd go. Yeah.
Oh, are the mascots okay. The Sea Eagles?
Hopefully. I don't know. I'll go check.
Someone calls her Dorka. That's a kind of a running thing when they're in the city.
That and sticks with her. One person says it, and guess what? It never goes away.
Yeah, it's her boots. Yeah, it's what she did to Boots. Yeah, she gets Boots.
This is Boots' revenge.
There's a montage of her struggling through school, and it ends up at the winter dance where you come as your favorite star.
I thought that was misleading, too. Am I the only one?
Why?
I thought it was misleading.
Wait, the theme?
Yeah, the theme. Your favorite star. I feel like your favorite movie star, your favorite celebrity. I don't know. Your favorite star. I don't know. I was like, I could see like,
a little too vague.
Who do you know that's like, oh, my favorite star is like 32145 or whatever it is out
there. I'd be a constellation. Like, I'd be like, I'm coming as Orion, baby. I'm coming over here as Orion.
I was going to say, I feel like I have a few friends who would be like, well, I'm obviously Pisces. Yeah. Like, I'm a Pisces. I have to be Pisces.
Mm-hmm. I would come as a belt.
There you go. Right.
I guess I'm the only one who is like, I would never have made that connection.
If we were having a dance, you'd be the weird one.
Yeah. Her sun costume kind of looked like cheese pizza.
It did.
Yeah, the come as your favorite star, she dresses as the sun. Cute. Randy goes in a hydrogen t-shirt. Also cute. I think it's trying to set them up to be a thing.
I thought they were going to be a thing too, but it never really.
Yeah, they never did that.
Maybe that's going to be in the next one.
Don't they kiss during the credit song?
Do they kiss?
Oh, do they in the dance?
I forget if they kiss or just like get really close when they dance. I don't know. I'll look it up and
dance
correct myself.
Fever dream.
I loved it. I love the beatboxing. I love the dance.
I've had it stuck in my head for the past 3 days. But we'll get to that. She does her dance in the middle of the room. She's doing all these animal dances and Diego refuses to. So at this point, I wrote down, so we're getting a dance party ending. That's just how it works.
You just figured that out. Wow.
I watch a lot of these types of movies. And at least Dora does admit she's self-aware. She knows people are laughing at her, but like, what can she do? I liked that.
Right?
Yeah. I thought that was a good character choice for her.
I don't know, was it? I thought she could have tried a little harder to not be so annoying. I thought she was charming, and if I saw her, I thought she'd be fun. But that's because I'm 30-something years old. If I was 15, I would be like, this annoying girl, I'm not going to hang out with her. She could have just tried a little bit to be like, just tone it down a little. No one's telling you not to be yourself, but...
You are.
Don't just...
You are very much telling her not to be herself.
Maybe I don't have know, a set number of fourth wall breaks throughout the day.
Yeah.
Just try to stay in the lines.
Yeah, cut it down. You don't need 30.
And now it's time for the Natural History Museum field trip, where our main four teenagers whose names we know are all put together. Sammy, Diego, Dora, and Randy, of course. And they have to hunt for stuff. And Dora is led down into the basement by a mysterious museum worker.
Some kind of creepy museum weirdo.
Yeah,
she was a creepy museum weirdo.
I mean, we find out she's part of the mercenaries, but she's still a creepy museum weirdo.
So here's where I'd like to submit that there shouldn't have been any real human villains. It should have all been Swiper right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Even in the museum, he could have been wearing like a mustache and a hat. Like,
and you know Dora would have fell for it because she's never seen any other people.
Yeah.
That's true.
Or she'd just be like, that's a weird fox. I want to know more about that fox.
That's right. Because she's friends with animals. She's like, oh, that's not normal. That's not abnormal to be friends with animals. Yeah.
I think you could have figured out a way to lure her into that into that exhibit. I think we've like left the door open and like put the sign up or something and figure out a way to get her down there. Yeah.
Explorers mm-hmm. here. She would have just walked right in.
Yeah. Explorers apply here. I'm yeah. an explorer. Let me
yeah.
go.
Yeah. That's yeah. me.
That's me. Snickering yeah. fox silhouette while she walks through the door.
Yeah. yeah. All right. Explorers. I'm on board with that.
For explorers, that's my last name. I can do that.
She looks at the camera. Should I go to the creepy dungeon where I might be part of a child trafficking scheme? Let's go.
You know, we didn't get a pause throughout the entire movie where she was like waiting for us to respond, did we? Did she just sort of like talk to things?
I think she never, like, in yeah. the beginning, like, she did a tiny, tiny, tiny bit. I don't know.
But did
know.
She do like, did she do like, can you say?
She did when she was a kid.
That's right. And then she did like the pause. Oh, I don't remember the pause and after. It, okay, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
In the very beginning, she like. Does like can you say delicioso and then doesn't do anything for a while.
Oh, okay.
But I feel like that would have just made this movie longer.
Yeah.
So she gets caught by mercenaries. They all get caught, and it turns out the museum workers and everyone know her and kidnap her and the rest of the team because they want to discover Paraparta, the lost city of gold. They're talking in Spanish, and pretty much everyone can understand Spanish except Randy, who laments, why did I take Mandarin?
It's a good joke.
Which was a good line.
I
like line. That
joke. I think it's a good choice, too. I think learning Mandarin is going to be very useful for him later in life.
Yeah.
He wants to get into business.
He's thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Alejandro Gutierrez, who is a friend of Dora's parents, saved the kids. He's totally not an obvious villain. No, sir.
Right.
I could tell.
And oh. if yeah. he was... If he was just Swiper, or if Swiper was the only bad guy, the box could have just fallen off the truck.
Ooh, you're making a good case there.
You didn't
yeah.
even need them to get off. You yep. needed someone to free them. It could just fall.
Yeah, but like you have to have a my first twist bad guy for these kids at some point. They can't all only have Hans from Frozen.
Well, what if Swiper had like another animal friend who was like maybe an elephant or a crocodile who could help him?
There you go.
You know, I don't I know. Think... Maybe...
I think the original show had, like, a cow. I think there was a blue cow.
See, where's the cow?
What I remember.
There was a bunch of animals in that, like, acid trip scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think there they were all, like, the show characters.
This movie had a little bit of, like, the goofy Pluto syndrome, where it was, like, some animals are animals, but some animals wear pants. So, yeah. I'm, like, confused. And boots. I don't know. I'm kind of, yeah.
And they kind of acknowledge it when Sammy's freaking out after they meet Swiper. And she says something about, we got attacked by a fox with a mask. Why does a fox need to remain anonymous? Not freaking out about the fact that the fox was talking to them and calling them bro or man. Very strange.
Maybe they've watched her blogs. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they've seen her YouTube channel and they understand. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Where it's just like, you know, foxes talk. They're the animals that talk.
Welcome back, my explorers.
So yeah, Swiper is out of place. He's a cartoon man. He's got little tinkly cartoon noises. It's super weird. Kind of funny, but like doesn't exactly work. But you need him for this.
You need him.
I kind of felt like, okay, I'll say, I think they all should have been animal villains too. You're got me on board because now I'm thinking about it and I'm like, he feels out of place in the movie a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's yeah. like... Why does the guy who we want to see feel out of place? I don't need to know about these other people, these humans that aren't doing anything.
Yeah, they really insert him. It's like, we got to do this for the fans. Like, we can't quite figure out how to get this into the storyline, but we got to have Swiper. We got to have a couple scenes of that talking backpack, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird to have a fan service thing for something that's, like, for 6-year-olds, but, you know, I guess they would have gotten mad somehow.
I would have been mad if they hadn't included him. I was really looking forward. That's like the two things I know about Dora the Explorer. Right. Is she takes long pauses and also Swiper be swiping. You know?
Me do be.
Now, how much do you think this movie actually is for the 6-year-olds who are the target demo Dora?
Right.
And how much is it like nostalgia?
I think it's a combo. Because there's definitely like, it's a safe kids movie for the most part. But yeah. then there's the... jokes. I mean, I think the creative team behind it definitely has something to do with mixing those audiences, but we'll get to that later.
No.
Well, it's interesting because Dora the Explorer started in 2000, And I think it's harder for me to kind of understand this because I was over the age when Dora the Explorer came out. And then they aged Dora the Explorer up to be like a tween. And then, so if you think about this, this came out in 2019. This is, kids were five. Kids could be like into like 24, 25 to watch this, you know?
I was five when it came out.
Oh, well, there you go.
At the very end of it.
What year? It was 90.
It was 99 or 2000. I think just flat 2000.
So but like seven.
Yeah, that was like my transition period, like out of those shows into like the regular cartoon shows. So like caught some of it, knew some of it, but wasn't like super into it.
You weren't staying home and like from, oh, I'm in the PM class in kindergarten, so I'm going to watch Dora the Explorer. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I have a question. When did Dora become a preteen? When did they do that?
According to this, 2014 spinoff series Dora and Friends Into the City.
It's a whole spinoff.
And actually, the girl who plays Dora in this voiced a character in that who wasn't Dora.
Oh.
Which is super kind of confusing.
So it was like a whole Rugrats All Grown Up show.
Oh, I loved that.
I guess so. They're on the search to find Dora's parents and Paraparta. They find their parents' car and start to trek through the jungle on foot. At one point, Alejandro's like, everybody grab some supplies, opens a trunk. There's a Pitch Perfect DVD in there.
Oh!
Yeah.
Sharp eyes.
That's immediately what I was drawn to, and I was like, I don't get it. I know that's a joke, and I don't understand.
Maybe he just really likes a cappella.
I guess.
Missed opportunity.
We also get a mention of the Lost Guardians who keep Paraparta hidden from mortal eyes. They're going to be important for later.
Their symbol is Rick Sanchez.
Yeah, kind of, I guess. They find the parents' campsite with no parents, but they finally have Boots. Yay. He's there to help him out. And now for an awkwardly long running joke about Sammy has to poop real bad.
That was a long joke.
There's so much about Sammy pooping.
I love that they went there. I did. I did. Like, let's call it what it is. Yeah. I don't know. They sing about it.
They dig a hole. There's so much talk about Sammy shit.
Yeah.
And like, I guess, I don't, because, like, you do have that question when you're watching an adventure movie. Like, when did they have time to go to the bathroom if it's been 3 days? Like, what's the deal with this?
Did you guys ever watch 24?
Yeah.
Did he ever go to the bathroom?
No.
Oh!
Right?
What's that's that the about? Thing. And I guess, like, the loophole is, like, there's times where the camera isn't on him, but...
Yeah, every time he knew it was a commercial break, he would just dive to the nearest bathroom.
Well, there's 8.5 days of him never going to the bathroom.
Oh, that's commitment.
Maybe something's wrong with him.
It takes Metamucil. Personally would love that kind of encouragement that Dora gives. Like someone like singing to you,
want
you every
to
time.
Sing you?
I would love that. I don't know.
Every
why not?
Time?
Like, you can do it. Don't be scared. Sure, yeah, that's great. I love that.
Are you scared?
I'm not scared. It didn't really cross my mind, but it would put me at ease, and I feel like things would just go a lot faster. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
You wouldn't like it?
No, I don't want it. I just want my phone. You know?
Yeah, I was going to say, while I'm doing my business, like, I don't want a person there looking and being like, hey, good job. It's like, I know. I went through this years ago.
It was before. You know?
I want a monkey peeking. I don't want any singing.
Well, just as she calms down and does her business, there's an arrow attack from the Lost Guardians. And she freaks out, and everybody freaks out, rolls down a hill, blah, blah, blah. There's just all types of freaking out. Sammy yells at Dora. Dora feels bad. Sammy does say, I want to be in an ice-cold room looking at my phone, drinking a frozen coffee beverage. And without thinking out loud, I was like, bitch, same. Even though I was in a cold room looking at my phone, but didn't have the coffee part.
Oh,
sounds lovely.
It's also revealed Diego has a crush on Sammy.
Weird.
Okay.
Weird.
Why is this weird? I thought that was going to happen.
No. I mean, I feel like there was, like, no relatable qualities there. They're just bonded by trauma at this point, you know? Like, I mean, there was nothing that kind of, like, put little breadcrumbs of, like, they had any kind of commonalities. It was just, like, she's really annoying and she's really smart. And she was mean to him.
He's boy.
He's boy. Okay.
Yeah, what was his personality? What was his deal?
Boy.
You know? He was just boy.
Dressed as Cristiano Ronaldo, so I guess he likes soccer.
He did. Every shirt he wore was a soccer jersey.
Really?
I think so. I guess he was soccer man.
At least in the city. Every single one.
He's a soccer guy.
Yeah, I guess that's his character. He used to be an explorer. I don't know. This was also the point where I looked at the mercenaries and realized the bald one is totally the guy who plays Jango / Boba Fett.
Oh, wow.
And that was just... Wait,
in The Mandalorian?
In episode 2 and The Mandalorian, yeah.
Oh.
I was like, oh, I recognize that bald head. so that was distracting every time he was paired up with Swiper. I would just laugh at that. just a whole little joke. They're in the jungle with Swiper. They go to an abandoned opera house and Randy sings Phantom. Good. That's a character. Like, he has a character. Diego
Randy was great.
Yeah, Randy was great. But, I was annoyed when he started singing because I was like, you're being chased by mercenaries. You're giving away your position. What are you doing?
Yeah, but, I mean, you got to have at least one bit.
I gave the movie 10 points for, Disco Dorka, and then I took those points back when he started singing Phantom.
I don't know, maybe I liked him singing Phantom because I was like, that's me in this situation.
Unfortunately. I think it was a great choice to give him a little pizzazz, a little showtime. That and when we learned he couldn't hold his breath for 7 minutes.
Yeah, they do mention that in the beginning, and that was another like, oh, okay, this better come and play in the finale, or he's just like, hey, guess because my parents left me alone at a public pool for a long time.
I would have been okay with it not coming back up, just as like a weird thing he said.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway,
when we got there, I was like, oh,
yeah,
it's happening.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, now it's time for quicksand. It, you know, farts a bunch, and they do kind of the whole John Mulaney quicksand bit of like, I didn't think this was real or a real worry I needed. But they all survive except Alejandro sinks all the way through to a hole in the bottom. And at this point, he admits he's a villain.
He does.
He says, he's like, I'm a bad guy. I'm a really bad guy.
That kind of made me laugh because, like, you could see it coming. But yeah. I was like, this is weird. I don't know what this is supposed to be.
I don't know what that's supposed to be either. Is it supposed to, like, lessen the blow for the kids watching? Like, to feel, like, so betrayed when they reveal it later? I don't know.
Or, like, is it, like, young kids be like, oh, I knew it. I am smart.
There you go. Yeah. They're like, I saw it. It's when he said it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys think when they wrote this, they're like, this is going to be like the kids' version of Darth Vader being Luke's father. This is going to turn around. And be back. These kids are going to flip out. We got to give them some clues because they're going to flip out.
It's going to be the talk of the sandbox.
Oh, my
God. Yeah.
Children are going to remember this moment forever.
Yeah.
There's a long list, apparently, of actors who were briefly considered for the role of Alejandro, and none of them make sense to me, because I don't really know who this guy is who plays him. But the list includes Steve Carell, Joel McHale, Jason Lee, Robert Downey Jr., Andy Samberg, Bill Hader, David Cross, Ashton Kutcher. This is a long list. Will Ferrell, Sean Hayes, Seth Rogen again, Keegan-Michael Key, Jack Black, Steve Buscemi, Chris Pratt, Louis C.K., and Patton Oswalt.
They're all white.
Yeah, that's also the big problem.
I mean
Keegan-Michael Key.
Oh, there you go. Okay, but like I thought the whole point of this was just white. To like Latin influence. Like it's like they got like every great Latino actor to be in this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is this guy? He's Eugenio Derbez. He does a lot of Spanish stuff. He was in the remake of Overboard.
Oh,
was a movie.
Was he the guy?
We discussed. Yeah, he was the guy. With Anna Faris.
Did
anyway.
You see that? Was it good?
I haven't seen it. We discussed the original Overboard on
the original.
This the only a while ago.
Yeah. I don't know. I love Anna Faris and I love the original. So I was like, do I see this?
But it was tempting because like the original's so kind of problematic and like,
yes, it is. Oh, totally.
Is this one still problematic or did they change it? Like,
I think it's still, I mean, how can you do that movie without it being problematic?
Yeah, I don't know. It's about someone being, it.
Yeah, like it's straight about this guy kidnapping this woman and convincing her to be his wife and making her do all the work for her and raise his kids. Well, like, it's messed up.
I think the remake is gender swapped.
Is it? I know, yeah. But I'm not saying.
But
it's still problematic. It's still problematic. It's still not consent. Yeah. I think that was what they thought. They thought was okay. No.
The problematics balance themselves out.
Yeah.
So there's this old lady, and she brings everyone into her hut and says she'll take Sammy and Randy home as Diego, Dora, and Alejandro finish the quest. But it turns out the old lady is working for the Guardians and wanted to kill Sammy and Randy, so they get away.
The reveal. They pan to the arm and see the Rick Sanchez tattoo.
Guys, I did not get that there. I was like, are they going to explain what's on her arm? I was like, I totally missed that.
They kind of do later, but then that
they do
just,
later, yeah.
That just opens a box of more questions. And we'll get to that. But first, there's the big Wizard of Oz-type flower field. Like, that's what I felt like when they did the helicopter shots of it, where the spores make them see the original animation style. Yay. Yeah.
I loved this.
Yeah. I thought it was cute.
This was great. I thought it was, like, so fun, and I didn't watch the cartoon as a kid, but I feel like this would be like, oh my god, it's happening! You know?
I recognize them. It's cute and funny. While I was watching, I was like, is this a cost-cutting move? Because they didn't want to have, like, film them both jumping down the thing twice, but who knows.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
When they were jumping off the cliff, what was going on there in the real world? Like, what do you think they were doing? Because yeah. I was under the impression when he ran away and took his clothes off and he ran away naked, he actually did that.
Yeah.
He
did.
I was like, what were they jumping off and doing? And she came back around the first time, right? So I was like,
yeah.
Wait. What's the real world like physical element that I'm missing?
I was really nervous about this. Yeah,
I too. Yeah, I couldn't figure that out. Part of me wanted it to like cut to the real world and reveal like it was just like a tiny hole that they were like trying their best to hop over, but
because their friends pulled them out of it, remember? Like, right. Their friends came and saved them.
I didn't like. Once I started thinking about that, I was like, something else is happening. I need to, like, put this away for a while.
I would love to see a director's cut where they do, like, a Wolf of Wall Street, like, Leonardo DiCaprio cut, too, of, like, what they're actually doing.
So the gang falls down a hole and finds a temple with what may have been a jungle puzzle, but it's actually an aqueduct. And the water floods, the room floods. Finally, Randy's breath holding is coming in handy. Hooray. Good job, Randy, saving the day.
Not a moment too soon.
Once they were all like, once they were at heads up, I was like, Randy, you gotta do this, man. Like, they're gonna die without you. Yeah.
The first time, like, they went under the water to do something, he came up real quick, and I was like, no, don't you remember the thing you said?
Did he really have to announce it to everyone, or could he just stay down there, you know?
He wanted to create drama.
Yeah.
He wanted Dora to see him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Randy is secretly a messy bitch. So we find Dora's parents. They're here. And Alejandro reveals himself to be the villain again.
We get Dora's best joke of the movie. The Miracle Ace one.
Which one?
Wait, what's the joke?
Say it.
Because in Spanish, mierd is shit. And Miracle Ace is Wednesday. So when she like stuttered and then went into Miracle Ace.
Oh my gosh, I did not catch that.
Nice.
High school Spanish.
Nice. Merde is shit in French too.
Yeah, merde.
Yeah. Well.
Right on.
Okay.
How about that? Latin based languages. So they find Paraparta. And Boots sets everyone free to a Spanish cover of these boots were made for walking. Cute, I guess. Mm-hmm. And Dora knocks a guy out with a yo-yo because, as said in the beginning, which we forgot to mention, yo-yo could be the deadliest weapon. And it was. I liked how the mercenaries had a little Viper just got yo-yoed. Oh, again?
When she said it turns out it was her deadliest weapon, how would you know it's your deadliest weapon? In my opinion, I would know it's the deadliest weapon if it killed someone, you know? True. Like, if it very easily killed someone, I'd be like, that's a pretty deadly weapon.
Do we ever see this guy come back?
I don't know. Did she kill him?
I think she's killed before. Has killed.
Yeah. She definitely has. Before. So, Dora has a little heart-to-heart with Boots, and he's somehow aware that Alejandro will kill everyone, and then he's Danny Trejo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because.
Yes.
They.
I was very confused because I was reading IMDb as I was watching this, and I was like, Danny Trejo is Boots? I was like, oh, is he really good at monkey noises? That does not seem to track. And then we saw this, it was like, okay.
It's like Alan Tudyk and Moana with all the chicken noises.
Yeah. Aw, because the guy who actually plays Boots and does those monkey noises for like 90% of the movie is like, what am I, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's unexplained. Everyone catches up to Dora and is like, why were you talking to a monkey? Which again, a fox talked to them in this world. Why are they surprised? Can't get
sometimes,
mad about it.
You know, sometimes you see one animal and you're like, okay, well, there's one out there, but there's definitely not two.
There can't be two.
There can't be two.
Foxes are fine. I draw the line at monkeys.
Yeah. Which is weird because monkeys are the closest to
the whole evolution thing.
Yeah, but foxes are very smart, and we know that. So if I met a fox that could talk, it wouldn't make me think that a monkey is more likely to talk. You know, if I actually met a fox that could talk, I wouldn't think there'd be other animals talking.
I feel like if I met a fox that could talk, I would automatically assume all dogs could. Because, I guess because they're all canine family vaguely?
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, jungle puzzle. They go into a temple, find a jungle puzzle. There's constellations and levers to open the gate. And they go to the first treasure room, but it's empty. And this can't be all there is. This doesn't feel like the last episode of this show we did at all. We did National Treasure right before this.
Oh, my God.
Oh, guys, National Treasure's so good.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah. But, they have the empty room fake out twice in a row.
They do? Oh, I haven't watched it in a while. I gotta rewatch it.
But they start to open the door, but there are spiders and spikes, and it's all scary. And they have to escape into a tilting room that's forced perspective. So it looks like it's a long jump, but it's really not. And
they really were just like, we're not actually trying to trick you. We're not trying to kill you. We just want to trick you and scare you a little bit. You know, they're like, we're not trying to do so because it's pretty easy to get out of that, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of just like an Imagineering escape room, basically.
Yeah. If I was falling and I knew there's some distance I could potentially jump to get there, no matter how far it is, I'd probably make the jump. I wouldn't just fall down.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's shorter than it looks, then I'm probably going to be fine no matter what. Right?
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't want to kill anybody. They just wanted to be little stinkers.
Yeah, that's what they wanted. They were like, we're just going to give you a tough time.
That's Nickelodeon for you.
Exactly. And Alejandro made it all through the puzzle room as well, and he's going to solve the final puzzle where you have to make an offering to the gods that is that which is most revered. So naturally, he's like, gold, treasure, I am villain, this is how villains think. Mm-hmm. I genuinely thought it was going to be knowledge, but I was also wrong. Oh. Anyway,
I thought money. I was like, yeah, it makes sense.
I mean,
we know who the villain is now.
Well, they're doing so much to protect it. It's obviously important to them, you know?
Yeah. So he fails the test and falls into a hell pit, basically. It's lava, but he survives. And the ancient guardians approach with Dora's parents. And at this point, The old lady turns into a full-on goddess.
Yes.
And yeah. Nobody bats an eye at the fact that there's a goddess in their midst.
Which is even funnier, the fact that they were weirded out the door was talking to a monkey, but like nothing else fazes them.
Yeah. I
maybe that second animal monkey, they were like, you know, this has gone too far. I'll believe anything.
Yeah. Who knows?
They just got to a point of acceptance, you know?
Yeah, they're seeing like, her just like snapped something in their brains. They're like, all right.
They're like, this is it.
Everything is everything now, sure.
It's kind of how I felt the last 11 months. I'm like, yeah. That's fine. Doesn't shock me either. Sure.
What do you think that would make you feel if, like, your religion, if you, like, all of a sudden saw something that was, like, completely different than your religion? Like, oh, wow, I've seen, like, a goddess. We all are wrong. I would go back with a huge complex. No?
Yeah. Like, that's an interesting point.
What is this? Yeah. What is this, soul? Like, yeah, right. Existential crises?
That's a good movie, too.
So, Dora solves the final puzzle. The thing that is most revered by Parapata is water. And I guess that was a clue from the aqueduct stuff?
I guess. Maybe.
I thought they just meant sort of like you care for people. People need water to survive.
That's a good interpretation. My initial interpretation, and I wrote it down, I was like, is it because the monkey statue is like this and it looks like he wants to take a drink?
Yeah.
Which is kind of the motion. So
I was flat lost. Just pouring water in his hand, and I couldn't figure it out.
Just like, okay, I guess so.
Yeah.
So they find Parapata, but Swiper steals the final test monkey, so everything starts collapsing. But Boots wrangles it out of his hands, Dora places it back where it belongs, the gods are less angry, and the city is fixed. Hooray.
If that's all it took to fix the city, what have they been doing this whole time? That place was like...
guarding it.
Yeah, it was ruins, and they were like, well, we could fix it, but we want to wait for... But they didn't want to let anyone in, so they weren't waiting for anyone to do it.
There's an allegory there somewhere. I just can't think of it right now.
Okay. Or is there a second hidden city?
It's possible.
Ooh, gotta leave it open for the sequel.
Yeah, right? Diego and Sammy kiss. They like each other now. Wow, sure, I guess. And... Eva Longoria and Michael Peña offer to bring Dora on their next expedition, which they have a map for, but Dora wants to go back to school because she likes her friends. And this makes her parents happy and sad, and Michael Peña just does his biggest cartoon dad cry he could do.
Yep.
Somewhere in between crying and pooping.
Kind of. And that's technically the end. Like, the credits begin right after that as they're back at a school dance singing an incredibly catchy song. And during the credits, it's revealed that Alejandro is being kept in Parapata for 1,000 years. Diego might have dysentery.
Yeah,
tosses that out there.
Yeah, it made me laugh. There was someone in the crowd.
It's realistic, too, right? Like, they were in a jungle. They don't know what's
yeah,
there.
It's possible.
Water. They didn't get their pills or their shots ahead of time to go into the jungle. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there's a guy in the crowd that looks like Steve Harrington. I don't know. But it was nice little ending, and that's the movie. That's it kind of ends abruptly, but the song's catchy, so I'm into it.
They did it.
Did
all right.
It do well?
I think it did okay. Let's see. Do I have to go on to Box Office Mojo for this?
I wonder if it did well enough. Are they going to do a sequel?
I don't think there's been any news on it yet.
I feel like I remember hearing about it.
It
people
made...
saying that it was, like, good.
Worldwide, it made $119 million.
Okay.
And how much did it cost? And it only cost $49 million, so...
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it was profitable. I think it's possible they could do a sequel, but I don't know if it's been... I don't know if it's been talked about. Apparently, the main actress wants to do a college set sequel.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Which,
think
interesting.
Join a sorority.
Yeah, right. It's just 21 Jump Street, but with Dora. Right. Again, I would watch that. Anyway, now it's time to move on to the criteria, which we do in every episode of the show to compare this movie to The Pacifier. First up, how's the soundtrack compared to The Pacifier?
I mean, I say that poop song alone, like, blows out the tooth, gets my vote, but.
All right.
You know, I vibed with the soundtrack. I was like, I was jiving with it, so I'm down for it too. That last song was good.
Yeah.
The Pacifier soundtrack was so out there. I could appreciate it as like a former Vans Warped Tour groupie, but like, it was like, what is, huh? Like.
That's, I, as much as I loved the final song in this, it doesn't top Good Charlotte's The Anthem for me. And maybe that's just my 10-year-old heart talking, but like.
There were some real bops in here, in Espanol. That yeah. song on the plane, I think it was Como Ves, I think was what it was.
Okay.
I really liked that.
I know there was the montage when she's in high school had a song with it that I don't know what it was, but I wrote down, I really like it and I want to know what it is. Mm-hmm. It had something to do with Without You in the lyrics.
This could have had Smash Mouth singing in Spanish and that would have been the thing to put it over.
Oh my God.
It absolutely would. Where does the main actor land on the Dieselometer, a comparison of Vin Diesel performances based on charm and ability? So the main actress in this is Isabella Moner as Dora. What do we think?
She was so charming to me. I thought she was funny. She played it so earnestly. And that is a weird role for you to just like jump into. I loved her. I think she's a star.
Yeah, I think she was really charming in this, and I think she could do a lot of really cool stuff. She's been in a couple of interesting movies. I think she was in Sicario, Day of the Soldado, which I know a lot of people really like. I have not seen. But she was in a Transformer.
A Transformer?
The Last Night.
Oh, not one of the good ones. Right?
Yeah, one of the late ones.
Isn't that the one with the Bud Light truck?
Yeah, the one with the Bud Light truck and where, like, King Arthur, Merlin's staff was actually Transformer wizard magic. And it's a long line of people descended from Merlin who are to fight the Decepticons. It's insane.
Gotta be honest, I've only seen that scene.
I've just heard a lot of people talk about it. That's me just trying to, like, piece together from other podcasts. Like, what is this movie?
That actually makes it sound not so bad to me. Yeah, something right? about wizardry and magic. And I'm like, ooh, it's Harry Potter.
I think Stanley Tucci is a drunk Merlin and Anthony Hopkins is also there.
Oh.
What?
Each thing sells it more.
Yeah. What's this movie? That does not sound like the Transformers I know.
Transformers The Last Night, but night spelled with a K.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Wow, okay.
To compare her to Vin Diesel stuff, I said that she was comparable to Shane Wolf from The Pacifier. Because it is adapting her personality and unconventional knowledge in situations that at first seem bad, but end up being really helpful.
All right.
Yeah.
I said I was going to compare her to Groot, like in Guardians of the Galaxy, Vin Diesel's Groot.
Okay.
She's very cute. But charming, and she makes you feel good, and she really kind of lifts people up, but she can be tough when she needs to be.
All right. I took this one, I said The Last Witch Hunter, because the world is crazy and out there, and that's the D&D campaign one, and I would imagine that Vin Diesel is very centered in that world and very comfortable in it, and that's how... the actress playing Dora is. She's just here and she's doing all that and she's kind of knocking it out of the park.
Did I like this as a kid or would I have liked it as a kid? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It kind of gave me Goonies vibes. Like solving the puzzles along the way and kind of going on the adventure.
Yeah. I think I would have dug it. It would have depended on when in childhood. Because I was out of the age of like... I remember really not liking the cartoon as a small child. But maybe if I was older and I could just see it as a thing.
I was older when the cartoon came out. And I also didn't have cable when I was younger. I don't know when the show started, but like, I didn't watch it at all. So maybe because I didn't have any childhood association with it, I'd be like, yeah, I would have loved it as a kid. But maybe if it was there when I was a kid, I would have hated it. I don't know.
I feel like I would have because I know we mentioned last week with National Treasure that it's a good intro to adventure movies for younger audiences. I think you show them this when they're like 5, National Treasure when they're like 8, and then when they get a little older, it's like, all right, Indiana Jones, The Mummies, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That sounds like a great progression.
Yeah, I think this is a good, like, dip the toe in adventures. So what has the director gone on to do? This is directed by James Bobin. This is his latest movie. He's apparently working on an adaptation of Action Man. And he might be directing a remake of Clue.
Ooh.
Which is very interesting. Before this, he did a lot of stuff for Da Ali G Show, which is the Sacha Baron Cohen show that brought about Borat. A lot of work with Flight of the Conchords, Alice Through the Looking Glass, and the reason I think that I liked this movie a bunch, he directed both the Modern Muppet movies.
There you go.
And I love those. Oh. So, like, as I was watching, I was like, this tone feels familiar. Like, I dig this. Why? And his name popped up. I was like, there he is.
That's a great choice. I feel like those are, like, the Muppets are, like, one of the only few modern adaptions to like childhood nostalgia that I feel like it's done a really good job. And I, you know, I don't have a connection to Dora from when I was younger, but I feel like this is a good job. This is good.
Yeah, it has a similar connection of like some fan servicey stuff, but it knows the general audience.
Yeah.
Is there anything in as memorable in this film as the Peter Panda dance from The Pacifier?
The Pooh song. Again, I'm going to say the Pooh song again, but you know, I think I'm going to pull that level again.
I gotta give it to the scary CGI monkey.
Oh.
Mine relates. Mine is when he talks for no reason.
Yes.
Because I watched The Pacifier. I did not understand what the Peter Panda dance is. Also, nothing is as memorable as that for me because I didn't get that.
It was the secret way to not die.
No, but he was teaching it. I don't know. It was just surprising.
I think my second runner-up, so I don't talk about Pooh the entire time, is the backpack. When the backpack comes alive, he's like, I have a zipper. And that's it. I just appreciated that.
And who is the Brad Garrett / Carol Kane insane, memorable side character of the film?
Is it Swiper?
I was gonna say, for me it's either Swiper or the mercenary who's Boba Fett, because I was like, that's Boba Fett.
Oh man, I give it to Randy all the way.
All right,
okay. Yeah,
I gotta go Swiper too. I think that kind of like, what, why are you here?
What are you doing here? Why are you in humans business?
Hey buddy, what's going on? And finally, is there anything in this film that's as batshit insane as the Sound of Music subplot from The Pacifier? Which, in case you don't remember, this subplot, actually, I rewatched The Pacifier recently just to refresh it in my head. We've been putting it a lot later in the film than it actually is. It actually comes in basically smack dab at the halfway point of the film, instead of with 20 minutes left, which I think is even weirder, where they discover that Seth, one of the boys Vin Diesel is watching, is skipping wrestling practice, has bleached blonde hair, and has a Nazi armband in his locker. The vice principal and principal both believe he's a Nazi, which, like, you know, all signs point to the obvious. But Vin Diesel follows him on a children's bike one day to find out he's no Nazi. He's just doing a community theater production of The Sound of Music with a 40-year-old Liesel. And where Brad Garrett is ended up cast as Mother Abby.
What was the question? I'm sorry.
Is there anything as batshit
insane as that?
I gotta say no. Because I watched that and I was like, he's a Nazi, and they're all so very calm about it.
Yeah. They're just like, this is weird, and he's like, but I'm not. And they're like,
I don't know. Got you red-handed.
I gotta give it to the fact that to Swiper's role in this movie and how he's like such an add-on and he really doesn't do very much, and he should have been the whole villain team. I stand by it.
Okay. For me, it's... So yeah, this was directed by James Bobin. It was also written by Nick Stoller, and the original song was by Brett McKenzie. That is the exact creative team behind the Muppet movies, the new ones. And in the first Muppet movie, the villain resolution... Not the first one, the Muppets 2011. That's correcting myself. In that one,
King.
The villain resolution is hastily shoved into the middle of a song during the credits. Just like this one, where we discover Alejandro's fate is hastily shoved into a song in the middle of the credits. And I was like, that's the weirdest connection I've ever seen. But that just happens, I guess.
Kind of weird that he wasn't in, like, El Dorado prison. His prison was just, like, they had him chained to the table and they were watching him eat.
Like, they're big and threatening.
From Matilda thing.
They're big and threatening, and he's kind of a wuss, so, like...
Yeah.
And last but not least, do you have a ranking for this film and a rating against the pacifier?
Okay. You guys, this is better than the pacifier.
All right.
I can't say that the pacifier is better. This is better than the pacifier, 100%, yeah.
We respect all opinions here.
Even once they're wrong.
Oh, are we on a pro-pacifier podcast? Is that what's happening?
You could have guessed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have to agree. This is much better than the pacifier. The story makes sense. I think the adaptation is really sweet and very just done very well. I love... I had no idea that James Bobin was a part of the Fly of the Conchords, Muppets, just geniusness, and now I love it even more. So... sorry.
I gave it 6 poo shovels out of 8, and I think it's about the same. I enjoy them on similar wavelengths of just like, I don't know, it's something simple that's being put in my head and I'm like charmed and laughing at it.
Mm-hmm. All right, I gave it a 2 poo holes and a bump of jungle flower dust. And I don't think it's better than the pacifier, but it's better than I expected it to be, for sure.
Yeah, I was shocked at how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was too.
I'm sorry, I forgot we're supposed to give a ranking. I would give it 5 half-eaten 10-year-old candy bars.
Yeah. Ew, that was so gross.
Yeah, that was a thing in the beginning.
I'm going to give it 7 sly little... Swipers.
All right. And that is our episode on Dora and the Lost City of Gold. And now for next week's episode, Katie and Brad have picked out a movie for us, and they're going to give us some clues so we can guess what's coming up next. It's time to play the coming attractions game.
I don't know if you're going to be able to guess this. It's very niche.
I'm excited.
Okay. Okay. Okay, the actor in it is Eric Roberts. Kind of. He's a voice actor in this.
Okay.
Oh my god, you guys.
If you were to get it, you would instantly become my best friends. Brad, you have to give a hint.
Okay. If you were weirded out by like talking animals in this film, you may not like this film that we're suggesting.
Is it from the 90s?
No. It's
no.
Yeah. Okay. It's from hold on, I'm going to bring it up.
I think it's from like
2012.
2013. 2013, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is Joe Rogan in it?
No, I wish.
I do not think so, no.
It did not have a theatrical release. I feel like this isn't fair. It was on Netflix for a long time.
Is there punctuation marks in the title?
Oh, there sure are!
Okay.
That seemed like an important clue to you guys. Yes. All of you.
I never thought I would have to watch this movie.
Yeah!
Is this a talking cat?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Well,
we all have to go around and say how you think you would say that title, because it's my favorite part when I introduce this movie to people.
Oh, yeah. I'll screen share the poster for Luke.
Yeah. It's important to know that it's a talking cat exclamation point question mark exclamation point.
Yes.
So... that.
Oh, it's literally a talking cat.
It's a talking cat?
Yeah. I would think I would pronounce it like a talking cat?
I think it's a talking cat. Yeah. Yeah.
Talking cat. At?
And I think it's all right. Important for you to know that that cat on the poster is not in the movie, so don't get excited.
Oh, he's cute. Anyway, all right, so tune in next week where we talk about a talking cat with
another
very special guest. And thank you so much for being on, Katie and Brad. Do you have anything you want to plug? You want to talk about Well, I Liked It?
Yeah, we have a podcast called Well, I Liked It, where we rewatch movies from when we were younger with an adult scope to see if we still like them. That's it. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook, kind of. We don't really answer anyone on Facebook, but we're there. And we're on TikTok. And we're on Twitter. At Will I Liked It.
Cool.
It's a very fun show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And as always, you can follow us anywhere at No Highway Pod. The Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, No Highway Option, whatever you want. Luke, you can do your thing.
Well, just like Dora and her parents, we're on the search for something that is like a lost city of gold. It's a chicken recipe. So if anyone out there knows the old owners of the Rafters Bar and Grill in Amherst, Massachusetts, the restaurant has since closed, but not from our hearts. We're looking for the Yukon Gold recipe. So if anyone can put us in touch with them.
Oh, I hope this happens for you.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
As you know, if you've listened to past episodes, this is not a Wii thing. This is exclusively a Luke thing. I don't know where this place is. But if you want to leave a message with the chicken recipe, or if you want to call us about anything in general, you can call the Highway Patrol tip line at 301-941-7493. Talk about a movie that we've talked about. You can ask for us to cover a movie. We might do it. We might not. Who knows? And yeah, just leave a message about whatever you want and we will play it on the air.
Oh.
And of course, thank you so much to Ian C. Weber for composing our theme song. This week, Luke, you look excited. What does this E stand for?
I feel like it's got to stand for a cat.
A cat. All right. Well, thank you to Ian Cat Weber. And yeah, follow the link in our show description to hear all of his cool stuff. Also, A Talking Cat is available on Amazon Prime.
Enjoy.
Yeah. I'm very excited. Tune in next week for A Talking Cat. But for now, for No Highway Option, I've been Connor.
And I've been Luke.
And as always, these have been our opinions, and if you didn't agree with them, that's too bad, because it's our way. No highway option. Alright, that's sound. The theme music for No Highway Option was created by Ian C. Weber. To hear more of Ian's music and see some of his videos and stuff, follow the new link in our show description. No Highway Option was co-created and co-hosted by Connor J. Burke and Luke Smith, and produced by Connor.